94NUE, mobile.
Mr. Chan, N0TR.
Okay, bud.
Yes, we just got home from the grocery shop, and I'm just sitting here watching an old Western and drinking one of these little bottles of Starbucks Frappuccinos.
I am filthy, I am sore, and I am ready to get home, and I got another 45 minutes till I get there.
Kevin?
No, a couple years ago, me and my cousin bought out the maintenance section at the old Singer plant here in Pickens. And I don't know how to describe it really, Tom. It's just like a time capsule. They just Ryobi run out of it until the late 90s, I think. But there's a portion of the plant that's, it's just like they walked out in, I don't know, the 50s or 60s. And just walked out and never came back. So this guy from Tennessee came down and bought the place and is going to turn it into an indoor flea market. So nobody around here interested in machine tools and equipment like that, you know. So we just bought him out, lock, stock, and barrel. Blades, milling machines, grinders, and we managed to find the maintenance section buried in the middle of the plant. Pumps, valves, cylinders, switches, you name it. It was in there. Probably, I don't know, 1,500, maybe 2,000 square foot maintenance cage full of tools and enough equipment and parts to run the plant. It's been very interesting moving all of that stuff and getting it out from over there.
I'd say that's a Yahtzee if there ever was one. Yeah, I was in maintenance all my life, and they have some good tools and stuff in there, Chan. So I think you, you know, hit the gold mine there. As far as, you know, might not be worth anything to normal people, but people like you and I and machinists and mechanics and stuff like that, wow. That's all I can say. Sounds neat.
Tom, we found, let me tell you a couple of things we found in there. We found four Variacs that, I don't know, I'd say they probably, I haven't looked at electrical information on them, but, they're probably 18 inches round. Got this big 6-inch hand wheel on it. And you can put 460 in it or 308 or 220 or whatever. And you just dial down what you want. And I don't know how many of those things we found. Transformers out the yin-yang. Drill bits, broaches, nuts, bolts, screws. It's a whole plant. I mean, just imagine, you know, 30 years of accumulating, you know, whatever. And pneumatic cylinders. I think we stopped counting at probably around 1,200 of them. All different sizes, all different shapes, you know. Limit switches, proximity switches. We even got Band-Aids and some feminine products too. I mean, that just lets you know how much junk was in there. And We're in the bearing section now. We're almost finished. And we've got two pillar block bearings in there that carries a 6-inch shaft. I kid you not, I'm going to say they're probably going to weigh 200 pounds apiece.
Yo, Mobile.
This is NGRLTR. Yeah, those are worth quite a bit. Well, Chad, I'll tell you, when they sold out the plant I worked at for 32 years, they had an auctioneer who didn't know what he was doing. And I think he sold my whole electric shop, which I ordered all of my own replacement parts and stuff. And I think they sold it for like $350 or something. It was just unbelievable. And I had one little spool of wire. The bigger wire would have been worth more than that. I had tons of relays and fuses up to 1,500 amps. And those Variacs, I don't know what in the world they would have been doing with those other than welding application. But usually those are, 10 amps and probably 4 inches by maybe 3 inches thick. They're not, you know, like they used in the Lindy MIGs and that. Those big ones, I don't know. We had some very old machines that used variable resistors that were a couple of feet in diameter when I first went there. And I replaced those with big SCR drives. But, some of that stuff, it'd be worth quite a bit of money. On eBay, I would say, you could get rid of some of it. And sound like it's real fine. I'll tell you what, they sold a stress oven, and it was 13 million BTUs, I think it was, 13 or 14. And it was a whole room. We'd back a flat car in there with these huge parts on them to heat treat them. And the auctioneer come along there, they told me, and I bought a few things, but he sold that whole room for, I think, $650 or so. And he thought he was just selling the GIC box with the controllers in it. And there was as much on the roof, it's kind of like a carrier, there was as much on the roof as there was downstairs with just the control box, you know. And they just virtually gave it away at that auction. It was incredible. Go ahead, Rusty.
Tom, and I think I heard you say Chad was in there. Good afternoon to both of you. Well, I spent my grocery money for this week and next all at one time. And now I'm headed home and got to go home and have me some roast beef and Swiss cheese sandwiches on Hawaiian bread with some spicy mustard. What is that? That probably sounds like a good meal. Anyway, go ahead, Chad.
Today, the building, the original building was built in, the original plant was built in 1927, as far as we can figure now. I bought a bunch of cabinets and took the cabinets back home to go in the shop and found some of the blueprints, original blueprints, and they're dated 1927. In the maintenance cage that we're in today, there's two stories to it, and we got looking up in the rafters, and there's the original line shafting that's still up in the rafters. I'd say probably 60 foot of it, big oak timbers that's holding all of the line shafting up, and you could go up to the front office, and they've got a drawing of kind of what the place looked like. I think it started off as a mill, Tom. And they got one building that's, I don't know, it's 200-300 feet long, and it's got that line shafting runs all the way down through the building to run the textile mills, I guess. But he's wanting to know if we can pull that line shafting out, and won't know what we charge him to pull it out, and I don't think I won't mess with it. That stuff's pretty valuable to the right kind of person, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to mess with it or not. But, hang on, let me let this thing cycle, Tom. I'll be right back. Electric motors. I don't know how many electric motors. But the equipment we bought. Oh, my goodness. We bought 5 lathes, ranging from 17 by 80. Bought 2 of those. I guess it'd be kind of marine shafting or pipe or pipe work or something like that. You know, big bore chucks, that kind of thing. And 2 17 by 40s. 5 milling machines, 3 grinders, 100 ton, big press, big hydraulic press, I can't remember the tonnage, all the tooling to go with it. I don't know how many weeks we haul equipment out of there, and we give him $5,000 for it all. To include the maintenance cage. But it's taken us a year to move it, especially because of COVID. And we're just now finishing up, and I'm filthy and tired. And it's amazing how much dust accumulates in an area that's been closed up for so many years.
I'm just listening.
Stand your OCR.
Well, I think I would pass on the line shaft. It's heavy and you can get hurt. It takes a lot to move it. I don't think that sounds economically feasible. The plants like that used to have a huge synchronous motor, and they would run those line shafts with it, and they'd run the whole plant. It could be several thousand horsepower. Are the lathes, are they old enough to be line shaft lathes, or are they across the line like three-phase stuff?
The plant shut down in the 60s, or this portion of it, and what we think has happened is other companies or people, individuals or whatever, have used that portion of the place for storage. Because one of the machines we bought, the 18 by 80, it was manufactured in 1990. It hardly ever been used. So that's a conundrum to us. Some of the equipment was the original equipment, older equipment and that kind of stuff, you know. But most of it was, you know, in really, really good shape. We cleaned them up and put them on eBay or put them on Craigslist and sold pretty much. I mean, we kept what we wanted, you know. But I've got one of them down there in the shop now. It's a 89 Royal lathe, 16 by 40. And I had very little use. But that, you know, that kind of stuff, and it's just, I mean, I can't even tell you how much, just if you name it, it probably was in there. The interesting thing to me is he took us over to the power plant today, and let me let this repeater cycle, I'm gonna explain this to you. There's a separate building on the place that has a rail yard that comes in for coal. So they got a coal yard and a generator plant that runs on steam. The original generator is a General Electric. The tag on it says 1936. If I had to estimate how big around the thing was, Tom, I would say probably 15 foot across.
and probably, I don't know, 10, 15 feet long. I have no idea what the thing weighs, but there's two of them in there on huge concrete foundation. They basically built a building around the boiler for the place. The boiler is just about as big as my house, I'd say. Three stories high, and they've got it hooked to those steam generators that ran electricity in the for the plant. And I mean, it's quite the it's quite interesting to see that, you know, because it's all older original stuff, and so they've got their own little tool section inside the steam house that he's wanting it cleaned out. I think they're going to try to turn it into a brewery. I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but hey, that's not my deal. But so we went over and looked at today and see what, you know, we might be interested purchasing that. And let me let this repeater drop. I know this sounds like, well, Chad, you're full of crap, but I'm not telling you. I bet you there's a ton and a half of pipe fittings over there. And they're all organized, you know, from 1/8 of an inch all the way up to 4-inch black iron pipe, you know, nipples, fittings, 90s, Ys, whatever. It's, you know, the desk where the maintenance guys worked, there's some tool in there, you know, I guess it's been stolen over the years or whatnot, but like I said, it's just like they walked out and just never came back. It's just quite eerie.
There you are. Heck, that sounds like the Ford Museum that we just went through here a couple of months ago. They had full operating plants like that. And yeah, I've worked on a couple of boilers in my life, and they're dangerous, son of a guns, if you don't know what you're doing. But those big motors, I'm very familiar with that. The first year after I got out of service, I worked at a place called Atkinson's Armature Works, and they rewound all the big motors in the thousands of horsepower and that, and the armatures for power plants and stuff. They did a lot of stuff for the coal mine industry. And those guys would just be sitting on the inside of the stator, you know, of the motor without the armature in it, obviously. And the coils were that big. They'd hand fabricate each coil and put it in there. So I know what you're talking about. And some of those big synchronous motors were just gargantuan. They're just huge. Well, that would have been fascinating. I sure hate to be the one to have to move it. A brewery sounds good. It almost, you know, if you shined it up, be like museum pieces in there. They wouldn't be of any function, but it does sound interesting, Chad. Send 0CR.
Cool. I think the most beautiful part of it for me is all the timber. I mean, my goodness, that some of those second floors are 4-inch thick, 6-inch wide, maybe 8-inch wide, tongue and groove boards for the, you know, for the second floor. And I just can't imagine how much weight those things would hold. That was just some huge, huge timbers. But after the textile mill in the 30s, late 20s and 30s went out, Singer Sewing Machine Plant bought it. So after Singer Sewing Machine Plant bought it, there was a company that manufactured industrial capacitors and what do you call those things on the power poles that had PCPs in them, transformers.
and for World War II. And they basically dug a pipeline from the plant down to the 12-mile river, and I don't know exactly how many tons over a 10-year period, or hundreds of thousands of tons of PCPs they dumped into the 12-mile river. Just contaminated the whole river and the upper end of Hartwell. I mean, it's still contaminated. Well, that's the plant that that did that. And the maintenance guy out here, they're trying to get the flea market started up, and they had the fire marshal out here today. And he's not really too happy with them. You know, because you got to have operating fire extinguishers in there and all of that. And he pretty much ate their lunch today because the building's so old. But I think they're going to try to make it work. I mean, they got a portion of it already up and running. But, my gosh, I mean, it's just like walking back in time.
All right, well, be careful, Chad. Those capacitors also were filled with polychlorinated bithenols, PCBs, in the old days, and the transformers. I'm thinking that General Electric manufactured that oil that was used with respect to cooling in the transformers. But they definitely were in capacitors, clear down to in the capacitors, for example, that were in the lighting for plants. You'll notice, well, you won't now, but I did, when we put new lights up, the capacitors would all inside of those. If we had one fail, I'd change out the ballast kits in the starter boards and the capacitors, and they'd say no PCBs on them. But even them in the old days had PCBs in it. We had to have our transformers pumped down to so many parts per million because they had PCB in them, and they were 750 kVA, I think, or 900s. And they'd come out with a truck and recirculate it until they got it down to that level. And I had to open those switches. That was the highest voltage I ever had to open, and it was 13,200 volts, I believe. That'd really make you pucker when you open those.
So, the other interesting thing is that they got a track hoe out here. They're trying to avoid hooking the sprinkler system up to the city water. For what reason, I don't know. That doesn't concern me. I'm just listening to the conversation, you know. So they got a pond on the property that I guess that's what they run the steam plant with. And it's in a little concrete barrier kind of thing. So they had a track hoe out there going to clean it out and use that to do water for the water sprinklers, I guess. Fire sprinklers. And so they had the track hoe out there cleaning that thing out. And Tom, I don't know what PCP smells like, but my gosh, man, it was just this oily residue on. It's just hard to explain. And just this real pungent odor. I just don't know about that. I don't think that's going to work. I don't know what they're thinking, but maybe I saw something. I don't know what it was or something. I don't know.
This is NGLTR. Well, it's not PCP. PCP is what these druggies manufacture in their houses and blow themselves up. It's polychlorinated bithenols, Papa Charlie Bravo, and it was in the oil. I can't remember the name on that oil, anymore. I'm thinking Enderol, but I'm thinking, no, that was a synthetic oil we used in air compressors, I believe. So I can't really put my finger on it now, Chad, but the oil is what had the PCB in it. And so that's very possible that it looked oily out there.
At any rate, so it's been, that's been going on over a year now, year and a half, trying to get stuff in and out of there and get stuff moved, and they're wanting to rent the space out, so we need to go ahead and close out and get all our stuff out of there. And we about got it all except for the big bearings. But I just cannot believe how much stuff was there and how much, you know, that has been moved and how much headway they've made with it. I mean, it's really come a long way. You know, it looks kind of nice inside. And just glad the place is being used, because it's just sat dormant for so long. And there's still a couple of buildings out there that I don't even think they've opened up yet. I don't think they know what's in them yet. But I'm sure he'll let us know if there's equipment or something out there. But it's one radial drill press still there. It's 16 and a half feet high. It's I forget who made it. It's a Swedish made Arboga. I think that's the name of it. 16 feet high, and got the original table with it, tilting table. I bet it weighs, I bet the table weighs half a ton. But I don't think things ever been used. There's not a drill mark in it. Got the original chucks with it, table, everything. And it's just in wonderful condition. But my gosh, Tom, the thing, I don't know how much that thing would weigh. I bet it weighed 8,000 pounds probably. There's no way I could move it.
Yeah, and I just wonder, it most likely be 480 volts. It could be 233 phase, but it most likely. And when I say 480, it could be 440, 460, 480. And you want to make sure it's not 50 cycle. And I'm sure they wouldn't have brought something in there that was. But being just Swedish or whatever, you got to kind of keep your Mark II eyeball on things like that. Yeah, we had, I think they called them 6-inch radial arm drill presses made by Carlson. With some of them, I don't know, I can't remember the names on the other ones. A lot of the machines were Shepherd Niles and the big old vertical mills and that. They were humongous, you know. They go, we had them up to where they swing 27 foot in diameter, 100-inch. We had 96-inch vertical mills, all the way down to the little things. Where are those lathes? Those aren't CNC, are they, Chad?
No, they're all engine lathes. And they, you know, I mean, they were all in really good shape. We had a couple of, you know, you gotta be careful moving that kind of stuff. And if you just a typical forklift operator, you don't have any business moving that kind of stuff, because, you know, I've moved so many of them. It really pays you to take all the hand wheels off and take all the knobs off, and, you know, keep all the hardware separate, and, you know, just take your time with that kind of stuff. But these old yahoos over here, we've spent more time trying to fix handles and knobs broke off, when all you got to do is just screw the things off and put them in a box. But they don't care. They just, you know, whatever. But there is one lathe over here, Tom, I still got my eye on, and it's in a Kuma. And that is the most beautiful thing. It almost looks Art Deco-ish. I don't know how to describe it. But, I mean, just incredible condition. Yeah, I mean, it's got dust on it from sitting. But,
I may have to have it.
I don't know. I'm seeing if I can talk him out of it. But, it's in wonderful condition.
Well, Kuma's good stuff, Chad. There's no question about that. They still run a lot of that down here. I think my son-in-law's machine shop even runs Okuma's machine centers and stuff like that. But, you know, you get the right person interested in those old lathes, and they can marry, like, an Alan Bradley or, I'm trying to think of some of the other machine tool manufacturers. They can marry these PLCs and then put some permanent magnet motors on them and have a CNC lathe out of it.
We sold one guy. He's going to put, he's into Cat 3, Cat 4 PLCs and encoders. So that's what he bought the thing for. He's going to control it with a laptop, and he's got some, I don't know, Cat 3 systems or something he's going to put on it. But that really didn't matter to me. I mean, it just, hey, if you want it, here's the price. You know, you do what you want with it after you get it. But, also was two Harding's process lathes. And those were in really good shape. And those were really nice machines. But at any rate, well, Tom, I appreciate you riding along with me. I'm almost home. I'm gonna go in and take me a shower, and I'm probably gonna come visit with you tomorrow afternoon for just a little bit. That'd be okay?
The boss was sitting here, and she said that'd be fine. I can smell you clear down here, Chet. You better get into the rain locker there and get you a shower. Your wife, you come through the door looking like that, she'll probably do something in your mess kit that would be undesirable if you don't get cleaned up. Well, have a good day, buddy, and we'll see you tomorrow afternoon sometime. KL4NUE. And that was fascinating, Chad. Enjoyed it. This is N0TR73.
Hi, Miss Bernice. KL4NUE. I'm clear.